And again, Happy New Year. Happy Epiphany. I'm going to start with a kind of a strange place, but I know where I'm going. So it's in my head here. So George and I have been married 3.5 years, and we discovered within about the first month of being married that we cannot shop together. Now, if you have someone in your home that you live with, you may have this same thing going on, that one of you can shop. One shops one way and one shops another way. All right, so this is my style. I'm talking grocery shopping. You go into the grocery store, you know what you want, you get one of those baskets, a little crook in the arm, and you go to those places, you get it, you go to the self-checkout, you get out. Anyone else? All right, okay, so I got a few like that. Now, George, I think he really thinks that this is some kind of great hunt. It's like a mission. And so, first of all, you need to be equipped. So he has the grocery cart full size. He may need one thing on the list, but it's full size. And so he has that. And then he has this green box of coupons. It's this plastic box. It's a curated box of coupons that he looks at regularly. You know, most people get the Sunday paper. They look at the front page. He goes right to the ads. And this is what he says to me. He's looking through the ads for the grocery stores. And he says to me, "Let me tell you what your favorite fruit and vegetables are this week." So he goes not just around the aisles to what he needs, he goes every single aisle, up and down, carefully. It is like sport for him. And so I, you know, we're newlyweds, I'm like, oh, I'll go with you, this will be so wonderful. So like, by the bananas, I'm just like, and so I remember, this is the story he tells anyway, is I said, "I'm just going to go get the potatoes." So I ran from the bananas to the potatoes. I got potatoes, I brought them back, I put them in the cart, and he picked them up. He goes, "These are organic, they cost too much, take them back." So every time I would dive into an aisle and try and help, he would send me back. So I have done some research on this, and now I understand his preferences and his shopping plan. And for those of you interested in marketing, or maybe you've heard about shelf placement in a grocery store before, you may just recognize this. So if you go into the main aisles of grocery stores, up on top, oh my goodness, we got a Kroger rep here today, so you're going to be able to tell me whether this works or not. Up on the top shelves, you have like what sets the tone and texture for the store. So you got the fancy stuff and the organic stuff, right? So like if you're looking for the fancy stuff, you gotta look up here. In the next aisles, the next shelves are called the bullseye shelves, and that's where your eyes go. So the brand names are there and the wannabe brand names are there. And then I didn't experience this much in my life, but you may have. The next level down are kids' eye level. Do you know those ones where, yeah, danger zone. The kids are walking, they see it, oh yeah, that's what I want, you know, because it's right at their level, or they're asking, they're begging for, you know, something that will change their life if you would just buy it. And then on the very, very lower part of all the shelves are where the bulk is, the generic, and the store brands. Now, you would think that the store brands would be a little bit higher because it's the store, you know, they would be there. But here's what they found, is that people who are looking for a bargain are willing to search a little bit harder, willing to work a little bit harder to actually look down and bend down and get things. So this is how you shop with George, kind of like this, you know, like bending down. So we've decided that it's best that he does the grocery shopping. There is an app called Wunderlist. It's W-U-N-D-E-R, Wunderlist. And it is a shared list-making app. So I just, at my leisure, type things in. Yogurt, you know, cheese. And it will appear on his phone. So he just goes and checks when it's time to shop. It's the way that we are able to compromise, yeah. And so I do get this understanding that if you really want something badly enough, you're willing to search for it. And this is a great day to think about that, because we're talking about Epiphany. Epiphany is the celebration of finding the Christ child. It's the traditional date when we remember the wise men or the magi who traveled to Bethlehem to find Christ. When we talk about Epiphany and we use it as a lowercase e, we talk about having an aha moment, having a moment of understanding or insight. And one of the remarkable things about Epiphany is in that moment of insight, the wise men who were Gentiles, non-Jewish, came to see the light of Christ. It was as if to tell the world and all history that Christ was not born for one small group of people. Christ was born for everybody, and the light was for everybody. And so we have this wonderful story. I'm going to read it to you. It's from Matthew 2. And one of the things that you should notice, maybe, are the things that aren't in the story. So, for example, you're not going to see any names of wise men. You're also not going to see anything about how many there were. You know, we have three traditionally because there's gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So I guess it's just everyone had to carry something. You know, sorry, could only be three. But here we go. This is from Matthew 2, Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to do verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written." This comes from Micah 5. "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of frankincense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So these are the Magi. You know, we often think of kings. I don't know about your nativity sets, but mine have little crowns. Even my rubber ducky nativity set has little crowns on the king ducks. So we kind of think of kings, but they were really magi. So magi were kind of mystical leaders in their country. They studied astrology, astronomy, alchemy. They were professional curious. They were seekers. They were the ones who were supposed to find the answers. And so when they saw a change in the heavens, what they knew is that it was their job to discern what this heavenly message was. What did it mean for people? And so they were the ones who were sent to seek. And I think that we can gain some amazing wisdom from the wise men, from the Magi. I think that in our life today, there are a number of things that we can learn. I mean, even if we just look at their example when we're thinking about the Christian life, they kept a lookout, right? They kept a lookout for things. And when they saw it, they moved and they came to the place where the child was and they accepted the light of Christ. It's a powerful, powerful message for us. And I think there are a few things that we really can pull from this. So first of all, I think it's interesting that they were seekers. They expected that amazing, wondrous, divine things would happen in this world, and they kept a lookout. Did you ever think that this star shone in the sky, and it wasn't just the Magi, or like things singing in the night, whatever that song is, you know, that song in the night. It wasn't just a few people who saw the star and acted. It was a few people who saw it, came to it, and the rest did nothing. Did nothing. And so you have to ask, what does it mean to be faithful, to seek the light? Well, the first thing is you have to be open to it and question it. I think there are all kinds of ways that the light of Christ comes to us. I mean, it would be great if it was a heavenly star, but you know, there's far too much light pollution for that to happen. I mean, we wouldn't even notice. But I think that the light of Christ comes to us in the smiles of those around us, in the acts of kindness and compassion that we see. When we see people who are seeking justice and peace in their lives and even beyond the circle of their own lives, we see the light of Christ burning. And this is what the seekers, these magi, were sent to find that and to seek for that. Can you imagine if we allowed our hearts to be open and seeking all the time for the magi? I go to the Christmas sales. This is a place that I slow down a little bit. And so I go to the 50% off and the 70% off sales. Does anyone else do that? I look for the thing that I'm going to use next Christmas. And I saw some really cool things this year. In Meijer, they probably still have some if you want one. There's a dancing and singing iguana in a Santa suit. I almost got it. I mean, it was in my arms and then I put it back. There's cat wrapping paper, which is always an attraction to me. And there are a number of other things that I thought, well, maybe. But then I realized that all I would do is buy this stuff, put it in a Rubbermaid tub, and the next year I'd pull it out and say, what in the world was I thinking? And it would be useless. Is there anyone here who's a clothing shopper where you go into one of those discount places and you find like this amazing deal on a piece of clothing? You take it home and you put it in the closet, and the only time you take it out is three or four times to put it on and realize how terrible it looks on you. But you buy it anyway because it was on sale. Here's the thing, is if something's on sale and it's a deal, but there's no way you're absolutely going to ever use it, then it's not any kind of deal at all. What we need to search for are the things that we need and the things that we will use. The wise men, the magi, searched for what this world needed. The breaking through of God, the divine, in the world. And so it is a good thing for us to be seekers of the light. There's another really interesting thing that the Magi give to us, and I really think that there's an important thing for the Christian journey, and that is that we don't do this on our own. Now, imagine if one person had gone to see King Herod. It'd be a little bit intimidating, maybe a little hard to do, but a whole group of Magi went to see the king. They traveled as a group, and if you think about it, there's no superstar. In today's culture, even if you're talking a sports team, you can usually name the superstar that's carrying that team. We in our society like to know the one person we can blame or we can credit for events that happen. But we very seldom think of like a group of people who anonymously move together for the good of the world. But that's what these wise men did. And I think there was some benefit and moving together as a group. So they go to Herod, and Herod has to consult his prophets to figure out what they might be saying, and then he sends them to Bethlehem, and he says, I'll show up if there's something good to see there. And I got girlfriends. I mean, I just want to picture these magi being like my girlfriends, and we leave Bethlehem, and we go to Jerusalem, and the whole way we're talking about Herod. You know, like, it was a good palace. Yeah, I would have decorated it differently, used different colors, but nice palace. And then we'd say, who is this guy who doesn't even know the prophecies of his own faith? Who is this guy who, when we say there is royalty born in Bethlehem, a new age has come, he says, I'll show up later, just tell me what's going on. Who is this person? I like to think that their conversations opened and tempered them to a dream that would say to them, don't go back there. Avoid him for the safety of this child. And so they come together to worship the light of the world, Jesus. Think about the things that you have done in community. Perhaps even in these last couple of weeks, you've had that wonderful community feeling with friends or with family. Think about other things that you have done to move mountains and do incredible things, like a mission project or a large project that needs to be done, that when community come together, powerful things can happen. I believe that God's Spirit moves powerfully when we work together, as in our workplaces, in our schools, and in the grace and the presence of the church. Community is a powerful thing, and that's what the Magi lived out, even as they risked, they gave away gifts, they resisted the power of Herod, they worked as community. And one final thing that I think is powerful is that they came to see the light because at some point they got it in their heads that they had to move. Now, we can be faithful and not do very much moving, I suppose, unless it's like setting out the nativity scene and then taking it and putting it away, and the next year kind of setting it out, the cute little story, and then putting it away. But what the Magi say to us, if you see something, if you want to follow the light, if you want to be influenced by the divine presence of God, you actually have to do something. You have to move. And that's what they did coming to the manger. Now, there are lots of opportunities for us to move as individuals and as community, and we're all going to take a different journey. It's all going to be different. For some of us, we're kind of head people, and we're just going to read. We're going to read a lot and understand the faith more deeply. For others of us, we need to be talking with people and shaping our faith in that way. For some of us, our worship is even on a daily basis in prayer. And for some of us, communal worship is a thing that touches our hearts and is powerful for us. And we all come in different ways to the journey. But Christianity at its heart is a moving. We see this in the life of Jesus. Jesus is moving, moving, moving. We see this in the life of the saints that came after, those who, even the early Methodist preachers, who didn't have one place, but they had an entire circuit and area where they moved, and they moved to bring the word of Christ. They didn't stop. They kept going. And my guess is as they moved, they became more deeply connected with God. And so there are ways that we can move. And we offer some of those opportunities here, and you might have seen some of those on the connection card, and we'll have a book of winter classes next week. And so you have the opportunity to take classes and be in small groups. Have the opportunity to discern what your spiritual gifts are, because we believe that spiritual gifts are a starting point for what you might do in the name of Jesus Christ. And give you some direction. I invite you to just go online and take one. If you want to wait till the book next week, it'll have the directions on where to go, and you can take a spiritual gifts inventory. Another thing that we do is we offer opportunities for service, not just to share of our financial abundance and with generous gifts, but to be in service here in the local community, in the state, and in the United States, and you'll see opportunities for that as the year rolls on. And we also have the opportunity to worship together. I think worship is so powerful. I especially like praying together. Oh man, the spirit is there in powerful ways that doesn't happen when I'm praying individually. And so worshiping together is a blessing. And I just want to invite you, and you'll find more about this in your worship folder. In the next few weeks, we're going to be doing a series that was created by Reverend Adam Hamilton. And the series is about not being afraid in a culture that is filled with anxiety. Finding courage and hope. Now, I invite you to look at the subjects, because we put in those titles, and if there's something that you say, oh, my neighbor needs the, oh, my brother-in-law needs this one, bring them in. Just invite them in. You're going to have to give them lunch afterwards, but you can do it, okay? Bring them in so that they can hear some of those messages and learn the source of courage and hope that God offers us through Jesus Christ. So all of those things help us as we journey toward a light. Now imagine this. Imagine if all of the faithful who claim Jesus Christ as Savior were light seekers. Think about it. Who were actively looking and expecting to see the movement of God in glorious ways every day. In our schools and in our workplaces and in our marketplaces, all of those places seeing the glory of God. Can you imagine what it would be like if all the communities of faith said, we're going to do this together. We're going to move toward the light together. We're going to seek what Christ's will is for us. And can you imagine what this world would be like if all those who claim Christ as Savior got up and moved toward the light, moved toward a more in-depth faith, if that's where they are on their journey, moved toward service, if that's where they're on their journey, or even moved toward the light through the questions that are very basic to the faith. I believe that if that happened, this world would be changed. Let's make 2019 a time when we get involved. Whatever that might mean for each of us, to grab community in faith, to be those who seek with open hearts, and to be those who are ever moving toward the light. As we begin a time of prayer, I want to point out that we have one prayer quilt, and after the worship service is done, you'll have an opportunity, if you'd like, to tie a knot in prayer. The quilt will be out in the narthex or the entrance to the sanctuary, and there'll be a place where you can sign a card to this quilt and be reminded of the prayers that surround him from this community. I invite you now to join me in prayer. Lord, you are the light. You are the light. Each of us have had our darknesses. You know what they are. Our darkness might be long past, and the light around us is brilliant. Our darkness may be long past, and yet shadows linger. And Lord, for some of us, we are groping in the dark now. In all ways, Lord, we ask that you might be our light, offering us hope and direction, offering us a way forward. And in that light, Lord, maybe you offer us freedom. And may we find a way to see you more every day. You know the places where your light needs to be shed in our lives. You know the places where we haven't really been looking for it and have missed. And so move now, Lord, be our light. And Lord, make us be the wise ones, the magi who search. And claim when they find you. Lead us to search for you in the things that keep us busy every day, all those daily tasks, those obligations. Help us to search for you in the faces of loved ones and colleagues. Help us to look for you in the marketplace as we journey from restaurant to store. Help us to look for you in all things. And Lord, as you fill us with your light, allow us to be light in service and in compassion and in generosity, not for our own glory, but for yours. Lord, keep us ever leaning toward you as Savior. And Lord, we pray this morning especially for those places of darkness that are in need, for places where there is chronic illness and pain, for those who struggle and their families with mental health and addiction, for, Lord, for places where people cower in terror and in abusive situations, that in all these places, Lord, by your grace, your people who are seeking the light and leaning toward the light might make a difference. And if we are to be the light for another person, Lord, then let it be so. You know where you've wanted us to act. And so now we open ourselves to seeking your guidance. We open ourselves to moving ever toward you and your glory. We open ourselves to being bringers of the light. Lord, thank you for the magi. Thank you for the wise ones who have gone past them. Thank you for the saints in our own lives who have brought us to the faith. Thank you, Lord. Equip us now. Equip us now to be the magi for this day and for this age. We ask all of this in your name, and we take now a few moments to offer our personal prayers to you. And now, Lord, we together as community and in faith, lift to you the prayer that your Son has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.